Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Cindy Croft, director of the center, and I'm here again with Priscilla Weigel. Hi, Priscilla.
Hi.
And I'm so excited to announce that Priscilla, who's been doing inclusion consultation for the center for several years, has now joined us as staff. Yes. And she will be our inclusion project coordinator, working with Race to the Top funds. We're so excited to have you on staff every day.
I'm enjoying it. It's exciting.
So I know our podcast audience loves to hear from you, and so this is just really fun to have this now in a whole different relationship. So we're very excited. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for those of you who are listening today, we wanted to talk about inclusion, and since we, from kind of a quality perspective, mm-hmm. especially since that's some work that we will be undertaking in the future.
Right.
And so you'll be hearing more about that as we do more work around quality in Minnesota, and also as we learn about other states and their quality initiatives. Mm-hmm. And in particular, we are looking at some research that's been done by the Early Childhood Research Institute on Inclusion. And they identified six factors that really are key to initiating and promoting inclusion in child care programs. Mm-hmm. And so we want to look at some of those today with
sure.
our audience and share some ideas that we have and experiences we've had and share those six factors.
Yep. And I think that, too, it just reiterates the point that inclusion is a great concept and it's fabulous and there's success stories all over, but in order to just really do it and do it well, you really have to think about and plan how you're going to make it work. And so these factors for success are really helpful, I think, to frame that whole idea of, okay, I want to do this, I want to provide good quality care for children with special needs in my center, my family child care home. How do I do that?
Exactly. And we also know that the research tells us that a quality setting, if it's an inclusive setting, is often also...
Forget that. Okay. But that is very true, that a quality setting for any child is the same across the board. And so I think that oftentimes folks think that, oh my goodness, I can't do this. It's too much. It's too overwhelming. And when we look at these six factors, it's really a lot of just thought processes behind what you're going to be providing.
Exactly. It's not something
attitude.
Magic when we
right,
bring inclusion
right.
into it.
Right.
It's practices that are already in place, mm-hmm. and we want to be promoting, again, this whole notion of an inclusive setting should be a high-quality setting.
Right.
If they're doing things the way that, with an eye towards quality and an eye towards including all mm-hmm. children. So it's mm-hmm. very exciting.
It is. And children need the same things, regardless of if they have a special need or not. And
exactly.
and that's something that I think this also brings close to home again, this point of factors for success. So let's get into those factors.
Great. Well, the first one that this research council talks about is that the staff members of a center or the child care provider that's providing the care need to be passionate about inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and when you look at individuals that do what we do, there has to be a true passion. There has to be a heart for kids at the very basis of anything you do day to day. And a passion for including children with special needs can come from a lot of different places. You may be a person that grew up with a child in your neighborhood that had a special need, and you had early on experiences of the fact that this child's just like me, except they maybe use a wheelchair, or they maybe have some sort of different way of learning and all that. Or you may be someone who's never been exposed to a lot of individuals with special needs, and you feel overwhelmed and kind of unsure of, oh, how am I going to do this? How does that person develop and take on a real passion? And I think that there's so many things you can do exposing yourself through just different print media. I mean, mm-hmm. our website is fabulous as far as just looking over a bunch of different information on various disabilities. There's just to kind of saturate your brain with success stories listening to people out in the community, mm-hmm. going to schools and observing how they include children with special needs, the more you see it done, the passion kind of ignites in you, I think.
Exactly.
You think, it's possible. It's nothing that, as you were saying, mm-hmm. this magic key. It's right. really all about caring for kids.
What's interesting is this research group found that this was the most important factor, the strongest mm-hmm. factor. Mm-hmm. And I think people might be listening and they may be thinking, and I'd love to get your view on this, Priscilla, they may be thinking, well, that's a problem where I am because we have resistance towards including some children with some disabilities. Mm-hmm. And they may think, well, how do I get that passion? And you just gave several ways that passion may be ignited. But if there is some resistance and somebody thinks, oh, I'm in this, I've got so much enthusiasm for children with disabilities and all children, really. But mm-hmm. I particularly want to make sure that ours is an inclusive setting. But maybe I feel like I'm not getting what I need from other co-teachers or mm-hmm. maybe a lead teacher that's over me. We hear that sometimes. Mm-hmm. How can we help that person who may be listening?
I think that if you really have that passion is infectious.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mean, it is. I mean, it's hard to keep it inside, mm-hmm. and it's. I think that the confidence that comes from someone that has that passion for children, and really that's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a passion for children and helping them reach their potential. And aren't we all doing that?
Yeah.
Regardless of we're focusing on a child with special needs, our goal as early childhood professionals, folks that work in school-age care, whatever, our foundation, every day we get up, we go spend time with these children, the goal is helping them reach their fullest potential.
Exactly.
And so how do we do that? Well, when we have that passion, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what the child's needs are. We're going to individualize our connections with them. And I think that it's a great way, so you're that person with that passion and you feel like you're meeting that resistance. It's a great way for you to explain your feelings and thoughts about it. Mm-hmm. It's good practice to be able to tell people why you believe it's possible. Mm-hmm. That's going to also just cement that passion even more for you, but it's going to help those other individuals understand where you're coming from, so they're not thinking, oh, you just think, you know, you're better than the rest of us because you have this great idea that you think this is going to work, but try doing it in my classroom, or
exactly.
I've got all these toddlers who need help feeding, and now you're going to add somebody else that's going to need more time? That's too hard. So I think that we all tend to go to the yeah, buts.
Yeah.
But if we just help people kind of stay in the beginning thoughts of what's best for children.
Exactly.
If you start there, that's where I think that passion really can start to grow. Not that you're going to just get everybody on board magically. It's going to take some time for some folks mm-hmm. to really buy into the whole idea. But it's possible. It's really possible.
Exactly. And I think some of these other key factors for success also build on uh-huh. this passion uh-huh. as well. So we'll move on to the next one. And I think this is really important for programs, and it's the notion of having a vision within your program
yeah.
of what that practice looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people don't always intentionally think about what their vision is
yeah.
when
yeah.
it comes to inclusion.
Uh-huh. Because it sometimes seems like more of a business world idea. You know, what's a vision for our company? What's our long-term plan? What's our mission? And when we really sit down and say with whoever you're working with, whether it's one other person or 10 other staff or 25 or whatever, to just sit down as a group and say, we want to start doing this. How do we want to see this come to fruition? What are the parts that need to be in place? What are the things that we need to tweak in our program to create this successful plan? And it takes prep work.
Exactly.
It doesn't just, you know, you don't just wake up on Tuesday and say, oh, yep, we're going to be totally successfully inclusive. You have to think about it, and you have to plan ahead, and you have to decide what your goals are.
Mm-hmm. And a key piece to that is everybody gets a say. Everybody
yes.
has to, at some point, at least be partially on board. And I think that goes back to the passion of the first key factor, and that is if everyone gets a say, then there's at least some buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really, really important. People don't feel like they've been sort of dumped on
right.
or given a task. They don't feel supported through or by, that's really huge. And mm-hmm. you know, I often ask classes if they have a written philosophy on their inclusive practices, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. But what a great idea to sit down with everyone and say, let's write our philosophy of inclusion. What are our keywords? Yeah, you know, and everybody's yeah. throwing out belonging, acceptance, community, family. And so everybody gets to share in those words, yeah. and then you hone it down into a statement that you can put in your parent book or whatever. And mm-hmm. I always like to recommend, you know, that NACI DEC joint position statement as a guide, because it has yeah, the definition of inclusion there right. and all these great keywords if people maybe are stumbling a little bit or maybe don't know where to start.
That's a great tool, a wonderful tool, and it's great to have that tool to
exactly.
start from, because I think it is overwhelming when you have all those different views.
And so then I think as we kind of wrap up this first podcast on factors for success, the Early Childhood Research Institute on Inclusion states the third factor then as there has to be state and even national policies also that prompt, is their word, and they have it in quotation marks, programs to become inclusive. Mm-hmm. And so one example they give is many years ago in the early 70s, Head Start, you know, they wrote the federal law so that 10% of their enrollment was set aside for children with disabilities. So that mm-hmm. prompted Head Start from the very early years to be an inclusive program.
Right.
And so sometimes we need those policies that come down from the system mm-hmm. that help us to be inclusive. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we have the Americans with Disabilities Act
right,
now
right.
that really says you cannot discriminate based on a child's disability or mm-hmm. a family's disability.
Mm-hmm.
We have other state civil rights laws that protect against discrimination. But more, those are sort of on the side of you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to see systemic supports mm-hmm. that come from state and local government or educational agencies that help us be successful.
Sure, sure.
And those maybe are the part that sometimes programs maybe aren't aware of.
Right, right.
Don't know where to access.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that, you know, NACI is a great tool once
exactly.
again to go to as far as a resource. Our website is great. And also talking to cohorts in the field
mm-hmm.
and saying, this is something that we want to do at our center. Are you guys doing this too? What do you know about inclusion? And I know that, you know, there are a lot of directors groups that meet regularly. There's a lot of family child care groups that meet
right.
regularly talking about this topic, and even, I mean, certainly using this podcast as, you know, listening to it together and then having a discussion following that. Just
exactly.
here are the factors for success. What do we have in place already? What are we doing already? And where do we need to add some more oomph in our programs and in our philosophies?
Right. That's a great idea. And we do have the joint position statement on our website, www.inclusivechildcare.org. It's also on the NAEYC.org
mm-hmm.
website. And we do have in our learning center at least two self-study courses around strategies for successful inclusion, with lots of really, you know, great ideas for
mm-hmm.
looking at your site or your program and what are some ways that you can implement inclusive practices
right.
in sort of easy ways.
Sure.
Not having to just change your whole structure
mm-hmm.
or environment,
mm-hmm.
but with an eye to what kind of adaptations can be made without, you know, major physical changes and so
right.
on.
Well, and the inclusion consultation program as well.
Exactly.
Is a nice way to just say, look at what we have and we want to do more. How can we tweak it a little bit, and what do we need to support?
And our next podcast, we'll talk a bit about advocates and advocacy, and that's a part that relates a lot to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
you know, we ourselves need to be advocates for some of those state and federal supports to inclusion. And that has sometimes to do with ratios and, mm-hmm. you know, funding and so forth, because that's really important. And we need to be out there also saying what our needs are and what we need to be more successful.
Right.
We're doing it. We're passionate about doing it. But this would help us
do it better.
Be more successful.
Yes.
provide higher quality care, because we need other people to step in from a systems standpoint and give us more support. So, fantastic.
Oh, great.
This was a great discussion. I hope helpful to those who are listening.
Right. And we're going to talk about the fourth, fifth, and sixth in our next podcast.
Exactly. Thank you again, Priscilla.
Thanks, Cindy.
That's all for now. See you next time.